Our pericope concludes with Jesus' words, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Here as elsewhere, Jesus closely links hearing and doing, believing and obeying. It is as the Hebrew word shama, which also links hearing and obeying and can be translated either way depending on the context. Faith produces the fruit of faith, good works. Scripture is clear in its teaching. In the article of justification, salvation and works should have nothing to do with each other. But just as clearly as Scripture teaches that justification is by grace through faith, not of works, so also it clearly teaches that saving faith produces good works as a necessary consequence. The formula of Concord is crystal clear, stating that it is as impossible to separate works from faith as it is to separate heat and light from fire. And yet, in the so-called majoristic controversy, Nicholas von Amsdorf actually argued that good works were detrimental to salvation. Amsdorf's excess reminds us and provides us an excellent example of how theological contention often leads not to theological clarity, but rather to its opposite, confusion. And so also, our opposition to our opponents may lead us, in turn, to doctrinal imbalance. We give up a balanced and scriptural position for a polemical and reactionary one. Sometimes the ghost of Amsdorf still haunts Lutheranism. So we see that the excesses of pietism have led many to be suspect of piety. Pelagianism and works righteousness have driven others in reaction to antinomianism and worldliness. But the scriptures, as well as the confessions, are clear. Good works follow from faith, as heat and light from fire. And as our text makes clear, good works follow from the reception of God's word. The word gives life and faith, and that faith in turn holds on to the word and produces fruit. What a wonderful metaphor, the metaphor of the seed. So inconsequential in appearance, and yet so powerful. In nature, new life is given only via the seed. And though the seed appears small and lifeless, the most luxuriant and fruitful growth begins with a small seed. And likewise, the word. Though men despise it, though Christians neglect it, though busy pastors at times get so caught up in the activity of ministry that they neglect the word and do not spend the time with it that they might, it is the word that gives life, and it is the word that produces fruit. So if you are to have a fruitful ministry, always remember that that ministry is rooted in the word. Time spent in the word is not idle time, it is fruitful time. Though Martha was busy doing the Lord's work, Mary chose the good portion. When a pastor gets caught up in the busyness of ministry and neglects the word, in the end, his ministry will suffer because he has neglected the source of life and fruitfulness. The word gives life because the word gives Christ. As Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." He is the word, and the word proclaimed delivers Christ to us. Those of you going out on vicarage in a few weeks, your first calls, deaconess internships, you long for a fruitful ministry. And the parable of the sower is instructive to us, both in its warnings and in its encouragement. It warns us against that attitude of the heart that does not heed the word, that shuts out the word like the hard, beaten path, perhaps because we have heard the word so much and we are no longer listening, or because we use our academic tools to analyze and dissect the word while forgetting that the word is not an object for us to manipulate. It is the voice of our Lord calling to us. We must hear and respond. So the devil comes to us and snatches the word from our hearts, and men who use the word professionally become barren and fruitless, or worse yet, faithless and dead. And we are also warned against the distractions of this world, this life, ever more enticing in our age of appetite and consumerism. Whereas our forefathers gathered at the church as the center of community, sometimes the center of entertainment, where they heard the word and encouraged one another, we are lured in many directions by the multiple entertainments of our society to spend ever less time hearing and meditating upon the word. The cares, riches, and pleasures of life press on us all around. Secularization, that is, the belonging to this age, or worldliness, creeps upon us, invading our ministry, choking our churches, and making us unfruitful. So our Lord calls to us and says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And take heed how you hear. Pay attention and hold fast the word. It is the life-giving seed that penetrates the hardness of our heart. It is the water of life that renews our parched souls. It is the nourishing bread that restores our strength. Do we want a fruitful ministry? The word is the source, as Christ is the source. Because we hear and believe the word, we hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. Perseverance comes with faith in God's promises. It is easy to get discouraged in ministry. That's why there is so much pastoral burnout and so forth. We do not see quick results in what we do. Sin and setbacks are all around us. You will get to see the skeletons in the closets of your members, even though you may not want to, and the devil will be reminding you of your own skeletons in order to discourage you. Perseverance comes because we hear the word, and so the light of Christ shines through our darkness and reminds us of his future kingdom. The blood of Christ covers our failures and enables us to begin anew each day. His word and spirit make our crooked hearts honest and good, that we may bear fruit 100-fold. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.